Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, The Burt Show.
When we found out that Wanda Smith, an Atlanta radio icon, had passed away, Burt immediately reached out to Frank Ski, who was her longtime radio partner on V103. And we just wanted to give Frank Ski the mic so he could properly tribute Wanda and their time together.
So Frank Ski and I have been friends for how many years now, man?
Man, long time.
Yep.
Over 20.
Did you and I start almost in the same year?
I think so.
You over at V, me yeah. here on the yep. Lady Bitty radio station.
Yep. So Frank yep. was the one kicking your ass in the very beginning.
Oh, it's 100%.
And then things shifted.
I never even had my... I'm like, we will never, ever get close to beating that dude. So that was even the wish, man. But it's been a beautiful friendship over the years here. And Frank has been a legend in Atlanta for the longest time. So I extended an invitation to him a couple of days ago with what has happened in Atlanta. Mm. Atlanta has lost an icon. A radio legend and a radio icon, which was Frank's partner and friend for years and years and years. And I said, if there's anything that you want to say on the radio, you have an open mic in here always.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, losing Wanda Smith was, it was difficult. But I never expected to get the call about Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. Last year, I was rekindling my relationship with her. And at the advice of my wife was like, you know what? You should call Wanda. And it's funny about having women in your life because they're so intuitive with things, right?
Absolutely.
They will say things to you and you'll be like, wow.
Does she have any reasoning why she felt the need to say that to you?
You know, we were talking, we were going through a transition at the station I was on at the time, and I was going to put a search out and get a new co-host. And she was like, you need to talk to Wanda. And I was like, really? You think so? Whatever. She was like, yeah. And I haven't talked to her in a little bit. It's just been a little while. So I picked up the phone and called her. And it was like one of those moments, crying, I love you, the whole nine yards. And I said, you know what? You should come in and talk to the management. She was like, okay, cool. And she came in, talked to everybody, and went on a cruise for her high school reunion down in Florida and got sick on the cruise. And she was in Miami-Jackson Hospital for a while, came back to Atlanta. They got her together. And then she went back in again for another procedure. And then things just went downhill.
Oh, man.
And she didn't want anybody to know about it.
She didn't want anybody to know. Ricky Smalley, the comedian, other people had called me about doing a fundraiser because people had found out she was in the hospital. And she was like, no, she didn't want to do it. And then I get the call. I never thought I would get that call. And here's the crazy part. So I'm at my house on Saturday in the backyard with the church pastor, family, and close friends doing the christening of my son. after the christening of my son and the prayer, I get the call that Wanda passed.
Wow.
Man, you talk about being tested. You are right.
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Frank, for those that may not be familiar, how did you and Wanda start here in Atlanta?
You know, again, another one of them God things. I was in Baltimore, and we had a station in Baltimore, and they would take me from nights, and they were like, we want you to do the morning show. And I was like, why? Like, doing the night show, I'm having fun, I'm doing clubs, I'm making records.
Sleeping in.
And they were like, we want you to do the morning show, but before we do that, we want you to go to Atlanta and sit in with Mike Roberts. And I said, why not? And I went in and just to observe his show. And then one of the nights we went out to a comedy club and I saw Wanda on stage. And I was like, wow, if I ever did a show here, that's who I would want. And then 2 years later, Mike Roberts announces his retirement. And they asked me to come in from Baltimore. And I accepted the job. And they said, you know, there's a woman here. Her name is Wanda. And I said, Wanda? And I said, does she look like this? And they were like, yeah. I said, absolutely. And it made for a great show.
It was like it was meant to be.
It was like meant to be.
What is one of your, if you can, because I know you guys worked together for quite some time and made just a tremendous amount of memories over the years on air together. Do you have a favorite on air memory with her?
I mean, she was just a jokester. Mm-hmm. She was a prankster. And I remember in Atlanta one time, we have several, but I remember Gucci Mane had gotten arrested and went to jail. And Wanda was like, I got connections. I'm going to get Gucci out of jail. And for like a week, we were like, free Gucci on the radio. Like, I didn't even know why he was in jail, right? But like, free Gucci. Wanda was like, I think we got it done. I called the governor, the mayor. He's going to come out. They're going to release him until the trial. Gucci's coming home. Matter of fact, he's coming today on the show. So the whole show. And Nina, which was our assistant producer, was like Gucci crazy. And she had like the biggest star crush in the whole night. She's nervous. She's in tears. Like, Gucci Mane is coming, right? So Wanda was like, I'm going to the lobby to get him. And we're on the air. And then she was like, as soon as I come back, you know, play his music. So I'm playing Gucci music. It's a party. We got a cake, posters in the studio. And Gucci was coming on the Frank Ski show with Wanda Smith straight out of jail. And Wanda comes around the corner with a life-size cutout.
Nah.
With the orange jail suit. Everybody fell out.
That's an elaborate prank.
I thought you were going to say, like, she came in with some Gucci bags and it was free Gucci for everybody in studio.
That's my kind of prank.
Right? But she was just crazy. She would say things to people that, you know, only a comedian can get away with. And she had just that kind of heart. But the biggest thing about Wanda is she had this ability to connect with people on a level that I've always aspired to be able to do. And it's so hard when you're on a show like this, because in the back of your mind, you're thinking about 50 things that's happening at the same time, right? So I'm thinking about everything from security to this, to that, to making sure things are right, whatever, and people looking at you, talking to you, and you're trying to break out of one mode to talk to people. But she would walk in and never care about anything else. It was just about the people that came out. When 9/11 happened, when we wanted to raise money for the firefighters in New York, she said, we're going to stay on the air for 24 hours. We're going to get a camper because of no flights. Mm-hmm. And we were out at the old Brave Stadium. We raised all this money and we were going to drive the camper from Atlanta to New York to drop off the money. And as it turns out, Mayor Bill Campbell at the time was like, no, I'm going to get a flight in. And we took the first flight in to drop off the money. When Katrina happened, we were outside of Club 112, the same thing. And she was like, no, we're not just going to give the money. We're going to take all this stuff here. It was like 3 tractor trailer loads of stuff. And Orlando from Atlanta Peach Movers like gave me the trucks. And he was like, just pay the drivers and the gas. And we did. Like, she was that. And when disasters happen, she wouldn't want to, you know, like, bring canned goods, bring this. She's like, no. She's like, diapers, like feminine products. Mm-hmm. I was like, for what? She said, everybody's giving canned goods. Everybody's giving food. But moms need diapers and female products.
Yep.
And when we did the diaper drive, it was like, holy cow. Like, the amount of people. Like, she just connected to people on a different level. We had a guy who was with the Innocence Project. One of the first people that they had gotten out, he had been in jail like 30 years, wrongly convicted. He was a lot older now, had missed out on everything, right? And it was like, what do you get somebody like that? He came in on the show. Straight when they got him out, he came on the show. And Wanda was like, call Carrabba's. shut the restaurant down, called all of his family, and had all of his family come in from everywhere and do a welcome home dinner.
Wow.
Like, nobody would think about the simplest things.
That can mean the most.
That would mean the most to somebody.
She was a force of nature is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and it was like, we would do, like, during Christmas, you know, Christmas wish giveaway stuff, and Wanda would interview the families that we would pick, and she would actually go out and buy the stuff herself. She knew what each kid really needed and wanted, and what the parents needed and wanted. We had a guy who, another guy was in jail, and he got out, and he had missed his daughter's like 10, and she, you know, didn't want to have anything to do with him because he'd been in jail all this time, and got them to reconcile on the air. And then out of nowhere, got another celebrity to donate a family trip for them to go to Disney World. Mm-hmm. And that's her.
You know, when you're listening to the radio and you hear a lot of the jokes and a lot of the pranks, sometimes you don't see the heart behind the personalities. Yeah. And it sounds like that's all she was heart, man.
So let me just tell you this one that was probably our biggest thing real quick. So we're on the air, and like any other time, we get calls from people needing stuff. And I'm on the air, so I'm Hubert, right? So I don't have time to take those calls. But she would be on the phone with these people. I'd be like, Wanda, pay attention.
I'm doing a show.
We got a show. She was like, pick this call up. Okay, I picked the call up. There's a younger woman who moved with her autistic son from Philadelphia, enough money for the bus ticket and the place they lived in, and had a little bit of food. They moved because they were just trying to get away from everything in Philly and where she was living and what was going on. Moved into a really small little place here, and it wasn't in the best part of town. She was crying because her son and her were locked in their house because there was a rat terrorizing them. A rat. Now, I grew up in South Florida. I'm the animal whisperer, and I'm like, a rat? Like, come on. Like, give me a broom. Let me go take care of this, right? She's like, no, it's the rat, and it's outside, and we're locked in, because everywhere we go, this rat would, like, jump on us and jump on my son. And what I was like, there's no way. Like, I've never heard of anything like that. Wanda was like, you need to go right now. On the air. Now, if I don't go, I seem like the, you know, like I don't care, right? I was like, I'll go right after the show. She was like, no, you need to go right now. It's like 7:30. We got till 10 a.m. to do the show. I was like, damn. So I get my little assistant in the studio, Jay, and I'm like, come on, we're going to go to this lady's house. So we pull up in front of the lady's house. Everything is on the air. I'm like calling her from the phone. Call the woman. And she's like, we got the rat trapped in the bedroom. And she opens the front door and she said, the rat's in the bedroom. I was like, okay, Wanda, here I am. I'm at the house and there's this rat. And I walk to the door. She's like, be careful. And I open her bedroom door, and in the window sill, it looked like a cat.
That was a New York City rat.
It was huge.
Was it a rat?
It was a rat. It was the size of a possum.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Took the greyhound down from New York.
And here's the thing. It was sitting in the window going like this.
Oh, no.
And you could see the stomach going in and out. And I was like, this is a rabid rat. Like, it's got rabies.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Because whether it's a rat, a raccoon, a squirrel, if they get rabies, they become very aggressive and will attack you. And I'm like, holy cow. So I close the door.
That broom ain't
going to
work.
Wanda, the broom ain't going to work. And I said, let me get on the phone and call some people. There's a guy calls in the radio station. I'm so-and-so from South Georgia. I've dealt with everything. I'm going to come down there and I'll get that rat out that house for you. Where are you at? Giving the man an address. This is all on the air. The guy gets there with his truck and it's got like all kinds of stuff on the outside of it. He catches everything. And he comes, where's this rat? You know, his pants hanging down. Like, anyway, so he comes in there. He opens the door and he's like, holy cow. Never seen anything like that. He closes the door. He said, nah, this ain't going to work. He had like a net, right? He had like a net, like he's a fisherman. I was like, that's not going to work. He goes to his car and gets a gun.
Oh, wow.
No, you all didn't.
Yes. And he's like, don't worry. He changes out, puts pellets in the gun, and he opens the door, and he's like, step back. Y'all stay over there in case he jumps out. And all you hear is, and you hear this thing, it's like screaming and whatever.
Live on air. The whole thing live on air.
Live on the radio.
Oh, my God.
And he puts it in a bag very proudly. I told you I'd get everything. And he takes this rat out, right? And now it's like 11:30.
Uh-huh.
We're into the next show.
Uh-huh.
And Wanda was like, it's not going to end there. So we get off the air, and she's like, we got to help her. I was like, what do you mean we got to help her? She has nothing. I said, well, so what do you want to do? She doesn't have a washer, a dryer. Her refrigerator's broken. Wanda went out and got a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, food, clothes for the kids, new beds, everything. And then so much money was raised. And again, this is me. I'm like, we're not giving this woman all this money and hope she's going to manage it right.
To rat lady, who I'm, I guess.
And that's Yes. Everybody calls the rat lady. And we set up an account and the bank sent her a little bit every month.
Oh, wow.
That woman hit us up like 4 years later. She went to college, graduated from college, has her own place, doing well. And when we did our last show on the air together, she came.
Wow.
That's Atlanta.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's Wanda.
Wow.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
That's, I don't know what else to say. Sorry for your loss, man. I know it's a cliche, but life is precious.
Life is precious.
You know what?
It's just things like you never think about how life can twist and turn, and you just have to value people and friends. And I'm so glad that I reconnected with Wanda, you know, because I would have felt bad if this would have happened and I would have never reconnected with her and tried. I would have felt really bad.
A lot of life lessons here. Mm-hmm. Lots of love for you, Frankski.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Right, love you, man. Love you guys. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for coming.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Mom, is this the same friend that keeps finding himself in predicaments? This time trying to get set up by a woman in Miami, and not set up in a good way, but set up in a bad way.
Correct.
This man is a content machine.
Yes, he is. He's literally walking content.
Just printing out stories.
And I love him for it, and I will always keep him in my life for it as well. But, man, this dude, I think he genuinely dodged a major bullet in this situation to the point where not only do I think he was almost set up, but I think it would have impacted his career.
Like from set up and like from a financial standpoint, or like from a, it could, this was like a potentially dangerous.
I think both.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, is I don't really know what the motive would have been for the other person, but to reset how this whole thing came together, and I'm going to try to be as vague as possible. But yes, so my guy met a woman a while back and he was really excited about her. For a lot of different reasons. He seemed to really like her. But one of the things that was very notable about her was she really had her life together. Like, she was getting to it to the point where she has a jet. She has her own businesses. She has, like, I think her business has over 100 and something employees. Like, she's a big deal.
Did you say she has her own jet?
She has a jet. Literally has a jet.
Have we talked about this woman before? Okay. Is this the same woman that was upset when he went to first class? Am I thinking of a different woman? Okay,
yes. So after they met.
And didn't she ask him that she wanted something in return? And he was like, I don't do that.
I
will do anything for love.
And a jet.
But not that.
I won't do that.
Yes. And so they started dating. I was excited for him because I'm like, wow, like you are about to embark on a whole new life if you and this woman really hit it off.
Baller status.
Exactly. So first date, they go to set up their first date, and he's like thinking they're going to go to a restaurant, you know, typical date. And she's like, nah, what are you doing this weekend? So he's like, I don't know. And she's like, you want to go to Miami on the jet? Well, he didn't have plans after that. He changed his plans quickly, as a lot of people would. So they were going to Miami on her jet, first date. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And it was all happening so fast. So when they get there, that was the first issue, was she asked him for some unique favors, if you will. It was something I've never been asked, but yeah, that's what she wanted. And she made it clear, like out the gate, this is how I get down. If we are going to be intimate, this is what I need from you. And he was like, yeah. I can't do that.
He couldn't match her freak.
He could not match her freak.
So I know we're being intentionally vague about this, but I'm just thinking about the unique favor that he's being asked. And I'm like, it's just so disproportional to the fact that he would have access to a jet. You know, like, it's freaky, but it's not that freaky.
Well, I felt like he should have gave it a shot.
I agree. How do you know you don't like it until you try it?
Yeah, it's the first time for everything, right? And how often in life do you have a jet on the line? Like, I mean, come on, right?
It's a jet.
Like, so I said, hey, I respect your decision, but I certainly told him I'm not sure if you made the right one. But he stood on business. He stood on his morals, and he was like, I'm not doing that.
Because he definitely wasn't going to be sitting down after that.
No, he wasn't. It would have been standing room only on that shit. Exactly that.
Yep.
So the energy got weird.
Yep.
From that point on, and they ended up leaving the next morning instead of staying the entire weekend, which was the original plan. And then, yes, she had, I think, I forgot what happened. It was a first class seat that she had. Technically, she was supposed to only be in first class, but she almost missed the flight. He got bumped up to first class because she was so late. And then when she got there, she expected him to get up. And he was like, well, I got to get up. You was late. What they got to do with me? Dang, I got bumped up to first class. I'm staying in first class. She didn't like that. So that was the whole thing. That was the end of the relationship. They never spoke again. I mean, I think they had like one conversation and it was awkward. And he was just like, nah, that I'm done.
Yeah.
Moving forward, fast forward, like maybe a few months. And there are, I don't even want to say they're rumors because they're not really rumors. It happened. But I'll say allegedly. She's now being investigated in like throughout her business because apparently and allegedly she has had these types of experiences before and recorded them
with other men.
With other men. She recorded them and one of the men is claiming he had no idea.
It wasn't consensual.
It was not. He didn't know he was being recorded. So then,
oh my gosh, so that could have happened to him.
That was my first thought. And that's what we were sitting there thinking to myself, like, I
wonder.
That
Jen ain't worth it now, is it?
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I don't know what she does with the recordings or if that's just kind of her personal thing.
That's so
or
creepy.
If she's trying to, like, use that in some way, shape, or form.
Well, if she's being investigated, I can't imagine that it's just staying in her personal collection. Like, it must have ended up on the internet somewhere. She must have shared it with someone for it to get to the literal authorities.
So, I mean, it gave us a lot of questions. Like, is this a part of how she got her business? Is this how she got a lot of her money? Like, we have no idea. And he's obviously not in the space to speak to her anymore. But from the sounds and the looks of things, that man is very lucky that he stood on business at that in Miami.
Do you think she's using it as blackmail or just to get her kicks off?
He thinks it's blackmail. From what he was told and what he knows about the story, he believes that that's a part of how she and someone else kind of got their business going.
How they got built the bank account.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. And yeah, she can't go back to work right now until the investigation is finished. I don't know if there's going to be legal proceedings that happen moving forward. But I mean, if that's in her past and she was so comfortable asking him that out the gate, I think that was the point.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
All right. Do y'all want the serious news first or do you want the petty news first? Nah, let's give us petty.
Petty.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the top 10. Top trending Halloween costumes of 2024. Because I've already established I don't need to be doing no Google searches because I already have my costume on lock and it's going to be killer next Friday. But if you are still looking for your Halloween costume for this upcoming couple of weekends, here is what Google Trends says you probably shouldn't go as unless you want to match with like 15 other people. So in the top 10, we have Lady Deadpool, which I think is a slam dunk costume. Mm-hmm. Wear a red spandex costume, high blonde ponytail. You're killing it. Number 9, Sabrina Carpenter. She's all the rage right now. She's over social media.
Those bangs.
Get some yellow hairspray paint, even some like high boots and like a little bit of lingerie. It's like a good, sexy, but like feminine costume. Number 8, kind of random, Dr. Doom. Is on really? The list. Dr. Doom is on the list. Hmm. Number 7, the character Red from the new Descendants movies on Disney Channel. Hmm. Number 6, Envy from Inside Out. If anyone's going as an Inside Out character, I will be running to you because I think that is genius.
Oh, I would be anxiety.
Okay, I've never heard of this person, but number 5 is Pomni from the original Digital Circus.
No clue.
Never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. Number 4, Dolores from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Number 3, Catnap from the horror video game Poppy Playtime.
Huh.
Number
2, either.
I cannot wait to see somebody dressed up as this person, but Ray Gunn, the Australian breakdancer.
Absolutely.
If
yeah.
I was brunette, if I was even close to being brunette with a bob, I would be going as Ray Gunn and then just dancing around all the parties. It'd be so fun. And the number 1 top costume that people are searching for on the interweb is Shrunken Head Bob from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And according to this note, he's actually called Shrinker Bob. So I might have said that wrong.
Yeah, he was in the OG Beetlejuice as well.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when
when the couple go to the other side and they're sitting in the lobby. And I think he's in there, or maybe he's in there when Beetlejuice is waiting to see somebody, but he had such a small role. It was like such like a little blip, but obviously people are like obsessed.
I was about to say, I don't remember, but maybe that's why.
It was like literally just a fleeting moment in the movie.
I feel like he's one of those characters that even though they're not a star, the scene that they're in is so show-stopping or like scene-stealing that they become like a cult classic or a fan favorite. Like Olaf from the Frozen films or just like that niche character that you really love that has that one line. It's like the perfect costume because it's funny, but you don't feel like you're going to match a bunch of other people. But according to Google Trends, you probably will be. Okay, on to more serious news. I don't know if anybody's watched the new Menendez Brothers documentary or the Monsters show that just came out that's gotten a ton of traction, but a lot of interviews are coming out from it where Eric and Lyle Menendez are talking about what happened with their parents. And if you missed this case somehow, in 1989, they did shoot their parents. They were convicted of it. They're currently serving life in prison. But now their case is being reevaluated because people are viewing their testimonies where they spoke about the abuse that they experienced as kids is making people view this case in a different light. So now one of the brothers is speaking out about how he feels about his parents today. And actually Lyle said that he doesn't regret it, but he does. Well, I'm sure he does regret it, but he doesn't specifically say that he regrets it. He says that one of the misconceptions is that I did not love my father or love my mother. That is the farthest thing from the truth. I miss my mother tremendously. I wish that I could go back and talk to her and give her a big hug and tell her I love her. And I wanted her to love me and be happy with me and be happy that I was her son and feel that joy and that connection. I just want that.
So I do want to watch the monsters for the Menendez brothers. But then I saw the documentary with Lyle and Eric and they're talking now from prison. And it made you wonder, so like, why now after all these years? And they feel like, well, I think they think where society is now, like what they have to say will actually be heard and someone understood. So now I want to watch that documentary before watching the, you know, I mean, it's nonfiction, but fiction. Ryan Murphy Monsters version.
I wasn't able to watch it because it feels too fiction for me. Like after watching the interviews, I'm like, these are really inflated characters.
It was interesting to me because the series and the documentary both made me go back and watch the actual court case and the actual testimonies from the brothers. And it was interesting that they brought up the fact that at that time there were so many male jurors and men just did not believe that men could be abused at that moment. And so there was no way that they were going to get the kind of trial that they would have got if they were women and if it were today in a different time. And so, I mean, the obvious problem with this is there's no way to find out if the parents actually did this and if their side of the story is true. But if it is, I do think it changes things.
Yeah. And I remember them saying that if this had been the Menendez sisters, like the conviction would have been way different because people had more empathy for women. But on a lighter note, Cooper Koch from the show who plays Eric Menendez did come out and clarify that shower scene that everyone was talking about. He wants to make sure everybody knows that it was not a prosthetic.
Yeah,
scene.
I bet.
He's like, no, that's me. That's all me.
That was all me. For more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it. The Burt Show.
One of us has a fully formed frontal lobe now, and it's starting to show with the decisions they're making.
I'm fully cooked. Fresh out the oven.
Are you feeling mature these days?
Feeling very mature. And you know what? I kind of noticed this a couple of years ago when I was probably around 24, 25, because that's when your frontal lobe officially develops. And it's so funny how universal of an experience it is for you to kind of wake up one day around 24, 25 and go, the air smells different. The world feels different. Why do I feel different? And then you find out from science, it's because your brain has stopped developing, which feels like a very late age. I feel like if we're going to be allowed to vote and stuff at 18 and, you know, go to war, I feel like maybe we need to push those ages to 25. I wasn't even a person until about 2 years ago, according to science. And I've started noticing that even though I've started feeling this way since 24, 25, I feel like it's done now because of the way that I view my life and the decisions that I've made. And it all kind of came to me after a very petty decision that I made this weekend that made me have a revelation that that is how I've started viewing my life in bigger spaces as well. So the small decision that I made over the weekend was with a big purchase that I was surprised with by my dad. We are not the kind of people to like splurge on like luxurious things out of nowhere. It's very much like a Christmas birthday situation. And my dad and I were in a very expensive part of Chicago doing some shopping, and he surprised me out of nowhere with the opportunity to buy a new purse. And I was like, oh my God, I've been looking at this one purse online for years.
Not any purse, a designer purse.
A designer purse. I've been looking at a designer called Tory Burch for a while. And I always said, I'm like, okay, when I reach a certain milestone, I'm going to buy that purse for myself. And so when all of a sudden we're standing in the Tory Burch store, my dad's like, we can get it. And I was just like completely gagged because that's just not like, like I said, we couldn't even get dessert at the Outback Steakhouse growing up. So the fact that my dad's just like, you want to get this designer purse on a random Saturday? I'm like, yes, please. So I was deciding between two bags. I was looking at a bunch of them and I was, you know, trying them on and looking at myself in the mirror, trying to envision the fits that I was going to wear with these purses. But because I could only pick one, I had to, you know, decide which one was going to be the best fit. And so I have the one in front of me that I've been looking at for 4 or 5 years, being like, this is the one I've wanted for so long. This is the one on my Pinterest board. This is the one that I've said every single Christmas I'm going to buy for myself and haven't. And then to my left is a bag that I've also been looking at, but it wasn't the one that I like said I was going to buy for myself. It was always the one I was going to get, you know, maybe a couple years from now after I bought the first bag. But as I'm trying on the bags and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking about the fits that I'm going to wear with them, I'm like, the one that I've wanted for the longest, I just don't feel like makes the most sense right now. Even though this is the one that I've always said and the decision I always said I was going to make, this just doesn't make sense. I feel like if I pick this one, there's just not going to be a lot of outfits that I can wear with them. Like, this is more of a statement bag and I need something more practical. And so I'm telling my dad this, and my dad had just bought a watch that he had done the same thing with. He had been looking at this watch for like a couple of years and then finally decided to pull trig and get this watch. And he's in that same mindset. He's like, if you've been looking at this purse for years, just like with this watch, like, you should finally get it. We should both finally get the thing that we've been looking at for a while. And I stood there and I'm like, I need to give myself permission to change my mind. I need to give myself permission to not just make the decision that makes this sense on paper because I've looked at this one longer. I need to make the decision that just makes the most sense for my life. And that's getting the more practical bag, like the one that's going to go with the most amount of things. Like, if you're going to get one fancy purse for the first time in years, you should get one that you can name 7 outfits that will go with it and not the one that you think you should get because you've been thinking about it the most. And so I made that decision. And even though it sounds silly, like me telling a story about a designer purse, it reminded me that a lot of the bigger decisions that I've made in the last year or so, I have given myself permission to not do the thing that I always thought I would do because that's how I was raised or that's the line of thinking that I've always had.
You're giving yourself permission to change your mind and to evolve.
And I think that comes with having the fully developed brain of giving yourself permission to change your mind and see things more abstractly and not just see things so black and white. And I think that small little purse decision helped me recognize that that is the new milestone I've reached in adulthood.
So you went with the other purse.
So I went with the other purse and it's adorable.
What does it look like?
I was kind of jokingly saying it looks like an off-brand Birkin. Uh-huh. Like, it looks like a mini Kelly, but yeah. So very like classic, streamlined. Whereas the other one it's not gaudy, but it has like a big Tory Burch logo and it has a big gold chain and it's named the Eleanor purse. And if I have kids, I always said I wanted to like give my daughter the name Eleanor.
That's my grandma's name.
My mom's grandma's name is her middle name, and I just, you know, I love that name. So I was like, if I ever have a daughter, I would give her the middle name Eleanor. So I'm like, I kind of love that. It feels like a family thing, but it just doesn't make sense. Like, if I can't name 4 outfits that purse would go with, it's such a silly decision to go with it just because I've been looking at it for 5 years.
Okay, let's not let this move past us too quickly. You have been adamant that you are not going to procreate, that you are not having kids, but yet you have a middle name chosen for your fictional daughter.
Yes. Women do that. We have the list of names that we would give our kids. No, like we all grow up.
Not the ones who are like not having them.
Let me name these kids I'm never going to have.
Up in hell. Up until like a year and a half ago, like I was pretty convinced I was going to have kids. But now I think as I'm giving myself permission to change my mind.
Okay.
Even though I always said I was going to have kids, I look at what I'm excited about for the next 10 years, and having children is just not one of those things. And so then, I'm changing my mind.
And then wait till you hit your mid-30s and that biological clock is like, tick, 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 tick. You need to make an Eleanor tick.
Change mind.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Mo, riddle me this. How can a woman have a say on whether or not a man should or should not get a vasectomy when that woman is not his wife?
That is the question. And I don't know what I should do because my friends are torn. And this woman, yes, she created this mess amongst this friend group by believing she has a say on if this man should get a vasectomy while he's married and she's not his wife.
That is a bold, bold stance.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So in this group of friends that I have, it's like one of those groups where we all know each other, but a couple of us are closer to some of the people in the group than others are to others. So this particular woman who I'm speaking of, I know her, but I don't know her that well. So one of my better friends is best friends with her. That's how I know her, through him. So it's interesting because we all went out to dinner, and we went to dinner to celebrate the fact that one of my best friends just got married. So he brought his wife to the table, to the dinner, in order to introduce all of us to his wife, so on and so forth. The dinner was fine. Everything was cool. Now, it's important to remember what makes this even more odd is they're best friends, but she's also, at least pretending to be, really good friends with his new wife. So she's very well friendly with the couple. And, you know, he's sitting there, we're telling stories and we're talking and everything seems normal. Eventually, we having a few drinks and the newly married couple leaves. They take off and they go to do whatever they're doing. And so this is when the friend, you could just tell she got something on her mind. Like she's thinking of something, but she doesn't really want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And before he left, you know, the topic of kids came up and they were like, nah, you know, they both have kids from separate relationships in the past and they're good. They don't want to have any more kids. They just want to be married, keep the kids they have, move on in life. So he was speaking to getting a vasectomy. And for some odd reason, I thought I was the only person who caught it at first, but I found out later that I wasn't. I saw her like make this face when he said it as if somehow this information affects her. And I thought that was weird. Because why are you making a face?
Like, not like a face. Because I could see somebody making a face like, I think that's a bad idea. But you're saying this is more of a face like you said, like it affects her in some capacity?
Right, and it could have been that. At first I'm thinking that, right? Like,
okay.
It could have been like she just thinks it's a bad idea. But even then, why do you think it's a bad idea? Like, why would it concern you? That was my thought, mm-hmm. right? And so at some point, I started doing some digging. And I was like, was you making a face? Like, why are you making that face? And I'm thinking, like, I'm joking with her. And, you know, she's going to say, I wasn't making no face.
Yeah, yeah.
She like, oh, yeah, you caught me? So I'm like, wait, what? What is going on? So she was like, can I be honest with y'all? And mind you, it's probably like still four or five of us at this table. So she's telling us this. She's not telling her best friend and his new wife. She's telling us.
So now she's talking behind their backs.
Right.
Ooh.
And she's like, I don't want him to do it. So we like, why? Why not?
You're not married to him.
Exactly.
It's not your future, or your
what,
kids.
What does this matter? And she's like, I can't explain it to y'all, but I just have a feeling that one day he and I will get together.
Shut up. Oh, this I was not prepared for that.
Me
no
neither. Nobody
way.
At the table was. We thinking like, are you joking? She's like, no, like, I always kind of felt like I felt something towards him.
You're lying. She
this
did
is
not
what
admit
she said.
She did not admit that.
But she said something about him saying that. So I was like, wait, him getting married didn't like conjure yeah. these feelings? And she was like, not really. Because in her mind, she doesn't believe that this woman is the one for him. Like, she doesn't see it lasting.
But has she told him that? And but also, too, that's her, like, you know, best guy friend. But now she's all buddy-buddy with the wife. So she, like, is there even an ounce of authenticity in that relationship with the wife if she thinks that she's going to get with her husband?
Right, exactly that. And that's why we're conflicted. Because at the table, after she left, now the friends that are left with this information are like, what do we do with this?
You have to say something.
So I was on team, don't say nothing. That ain't my business.
Not my circus.
That ain't my business. But we were split because my other two friends are like, We have to. Like, wouldn't you want to know this information if you're married and your best friend is plotting on you like this? Like, he should not be in the dark. Is she? His wife should not be in the dark about this.
Because think about it. You have somebody in the mix now that could potentially plant seeds of doubt with both people. Mm-hmm. You have to, there's an enemy in their camp. They got to know there's an enemy in their camp.
And like, I'm talking about his best friend. Like, they're together all the time. If he's not with his wife, he's with her.
Oh, you all got to say something.
Oh, that's crazy. I was afraid you were going to say that.
That's insane behavior.
You would say something too?
Yes. Easily.
Yeah. All right. Can't wait to hear how it goes, Mo.
Thank you.
Get it. The Burt Show.